Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for the play-by-play call of the day. Look, when in doubt, turn to Stephen Curry.
Barbosa, far side, baseline drive, bumped by Serafin. To the right wing to Curry. Corner three, good! That's just silly. Just silly. 97-64 Warriors.
Okay. Great to hear Stephen Curry. And another big one, Tim Roy. What a run on KNBR.
That's just silly. Just silly.
Of course it is. But that, again, that makes it a perfect part of this show.
I love that line. That's great.
Well, it is. I mean, what he does is ridiculous. It's been fun to watch him play because he does things that we haven't seen. Well, will he be able to do it over a long period of time? I don't know. But at least in the short term, it's been really special to watch. All right, I want to find out from the fans. It'll be interesting because you know, this is an interesting question for both moms and for dads. Adam LaRoche has walked away from the White Sox in his $13 million deal because they don't want to they emphasize that the young man, Drake LaRoche, is no issue at all. They said, in fact, he's a plus. But he told them to dial back having his son there. How would you react? 800-795-9565. How would you react to all of that? Would it be something that would upset you? Is it even a thought that you even bring your child to the to work 24-7? I don't know. All right, NCAA Wrestling Championships will go weight by weight, but think about that. 800-795-9565. What's your reaction to this, that he's walked away from this and that management stepped in when the manager of the team, Robin Ventura, the coaches are fine with it. The other players are fine with it. The clubhouse is fine with it. But management has asked him to, quote, dial it back, bringing his son to the ballpark. Okay, moms, dads, here's your call. 1-800-795-9565. I'd like to know what you think. Pro and con. NCAA Wrestling Championship. Nico Megalutis won today, 18-5 major decision over Chase Tolbert of Utah Valley. Up next will be 14th-seeded Josh Rodriguez of North Dakota State tonight. Jordan Conway, the number 5 seed, beat Corey Keener of Central Michigan 6-5 today. Now he's got the number 12 seed, Ryan Taylor from Wisconsin. Jimmy Gulabon, round 1, beat Matt Manley, the 5th seed from Missouri, 17-2. And Tech falled him. Now he's got 12 seeded Chris Mercanti from Old Dominion. Zane Rutherford, in a shocker, beat Coleman Hammond of Cal Bakersfield 21-6. The shocker is Hammond scored 6. Tech fall at 546. Jason Nolf, fall, gets it done. Beats Kamal Shakur of Chattanooga 334, the fall. By the way, Zane Rutherford gets Patricio Lugo of Edinburgh next. And Nolf is going to get May Bethea of Penn next. Gino Morelli. Yesterday, Jeff Byers was on the show, said, look, he could win. It's a great matchup of him against John Stoudemire of North Carolina, and Geno did. He beat him 5-3. So now he's got a really tough one tonight. He's got sixth-ranked Steven Rodriguez of Illinois coming up. Bo Nickel, number one at 174, and the redshirt freshman out of Allen, Texas. Major decision over Joseph Johnson of Harvard, winning 10-2. Although Johnson did, when it was over with, give Nickel the theory of relativity. Just kidding. Micah Barnes of Nebraska, who's the number 16 seed, is next. Matt McCutchen, the lone loss for Penn State in the opening round, is Tommy Slay of Bucknell beat him 4-3. We know how good Tommy is here. And it's a big win for Tom. Beat him 4-3. So now it's time for the consolations, and Jack Dekow of Old Dominion will be next for Matt McCutchen at 184. And Morgan McIntosh took on Ryan Wolf of Ryder, beat him 11-3 in a major decision. Kyle Connell of Kent State, the number 16 seed, is next. So there, you're up to date now on all of the wrestling. And Penn State leads with 8 points and 7 for Nebraska so far. So now you're up to date. And, of course, the NCAA basketball tournament's continuing. We'll get you up to date on those scores as well, plus a lot on Pro Day. But what do you think? 1-800-795-9565. Yeah, I mean, obviously you can ask about Pro Day, the NCAA tournament. Christian Hackenberg looked really good today. I talked to Kimberly Jones of the NFL Network. Kim's an old friend. She used to cover basketball here for the Center Daily Times many years ago. She doesn't want me saying that, by the way. Even though she looks about 15 years younger than she is. But she said Christian looked okay, and looked okay to good out in Indianapolis. He looked great today. That's the big part. Let's see, halftime, Yale leads Baylor 39-34. Halftime, Virginia leads Hampton 40-21. Duke won over Wilmington 93-85. Butler beat Texas Tech 71-61. UConn beat Colorado 74-67. Iowa State beat Iona 94-81. Getting underway in a few minutes, Austin Peay against Kansas. Bottom of the hour, it's Arkansas Little Rock against Purdue. Night action, Buffalo against Miami. Chattanooga against Indiana. Florida Gulf Coast against North Carolina. Fresno State against Utah. Wichita State against Arizona. Stony Brook against Kentucky. Providence against USC. And Gonzaga against Seton Hall. So there you go. Gets everybody up to date on what's going on. And the White Sox players pondered a boycott because of the Adam LaRoche situation, where he was told to dial back bringing his son to the ballpark. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. How do you feel about that? You think he should be able to bring his son to the ballpark every day? Or does management have a point that maybe, you know, it's great to have him around, but kind of dial it back, can't be every day? And Joe Stolfi lost to Colin Jensen of Nebraska 9-2.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of an upset there. Stolfi only lost 3 times this year, and Jensen had actually a pigtail against a kid from Pitt that he had to wrestle in a prelim match coming in. So lost that one 9-2, so Stolfi and the WrestleBacks now.
Okay. Gets everybody up to date on that one. They're up to date on the hoops, too. A lot going on. We're going to take a break. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Scott is next. Hey, Scott, thanks a lot for waiting. It's great to have you on the show today.
Well, it's great to be here. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Scott. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Well, evidently the manager did what so many managers do in all sorts of industries. The manager opened his mouth and crossed the line in the sand. And the man took offense to it and decided to do things that were important to him.
Very, very interesting comment. I understand exactly where you're coming from. I'll say this about the now that's the general manager, the president that did this. The manager of the team, Robin Ventura, evidently is on LaRoche's side, and the clubhouse respects him for it. And I think he looked at them, and I believe he said, look, guys, if I ask you to post, I need you to post. It can't look like there's a mutiny against me out there. And so they did. But you're right. When it comes to upper management, I think you're spot on as to what happened here.
Yeah, that's my take on it. The manager of the team, of the players, he's doing what he has to do. He's caught in the middle.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. I agree with everything you've said so far. I think you have a pretty good handle on the situation, and I think the players would respect how you feel about it.
I know it's happened to me several times that I was, something to do was unsafe or unsavory, and I said no, and sometimes it cost me my job. Sometimes I walked away.
Wow. That's hard. I understand that. No, but I'm saying the decision's hard, not for you. I've always had a theory when it comes to asking somebody to do something. And it always has been, is it something I would do? And if it's something I would do and thought I was capable of doing, then I would feel comfortable asking somebody else.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So that's always been my theory. Now, that doesn't get back to all the things Kevin's done, but that's not...
Whole different topic.
I couldn't resist, Scott.
Well, Kevin's been there quite a while, and he puts on a good show for us.
Yes, he does. I agree with that completely. Hey, great comment, Scott. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you for calling. 1-800-795-9565. How do you feel about that? Ken Williams is the general manager, the president of the team, and the clubhouse is supposed to be really a player's... coaches, manager, even the manager has his own office situation. You don't usually have management hanging in down there. And, did he step out of bounds?
Steve, I heard a lot of people talking about this morning, especially on Good Morning America, and they're comparing it to the office place and the, like the rest of it, the job the rest of us have. We don't play baseball for a living. It's right. I really can't see how you can compare one and the other because it's a much different setting. I'm sorry, baseball, especially spring training baseball, is not what I would call, an intense work environment. Now,
all right, well,
there's
now
a job to do. I'm not downplaying right. that. Understand.
Oh, I understand that. Okay, but here will be my point. Let me play devil's advocate for you.
Sure.
All right? Because I'm fine with what Adam LaRoche has been doing, so everybody understands that. I'm fine with that. So now let me play devil's advocate with you. Baseball is not an unsafe workplace either.
No, that's also true. But we're also not talking about a five-year-old that he's bringing to work.
Right. It is not as if you are walking on the warning track near the dugout area and there's an errant throw from the shortstop to the first baseman. It's not as if you're out there shagging balls and there's a line drive you can't handle in batting practice. So it's not a completely benign workplace. How about that? This is not a place of hard machinery or anything like that.
But it's not. It's not safe. It's not a safety zone either.
But yeah. At the same time, it's as much as safety is built in. Let's take the batting in batting practice. They got a cage around batting practice, and that cage envelops itself around the plate and also up over the top. So there's never a ball. I've never once seen a ball fly back to the screen, off to the side, anything. If you're in a good spot for batting practice, you are in no danger at all. None. I mean, zero. Because, I mean, I have to do a lot of pregame interviews around BP. As long as you know where to stand, and Drake LaRoche has been around forever, he knows where to stand. And he's 14, and he's smart enough to know where to stand.
See, that's the thing. It's not, as I said earlier, it's not like he's a five-year-old and you have to monitor where he's at all the time. He's old enough. He's obviously, his father actually thinks that he is smart enough to know right, wrong, safe, and unsafe. The thing, here's the issue that I have. You know, you always talk about we don't know the full story. I wonder what the full story is here. Is it a liability issue that the team is worried about here? Or is it the fact that he's there every day and they're setting they feel they're going to set a precedent for other dads to bring their kids in every day? You know, I'd like to know what the reasoning behind this really is.
Well, it's not a liability issue, because if it was a liability issue, they would have told him.
You would think.
And not only that, that's what you would tell the media. And it's a liability issue. We just got to be really careful about this. Well, guess what? If you tell everybody it's, quote, a liability issue, people can sit back and say, yeah, I can understand that.
But it's not like, he's been disrupting the team. You know, it's distracting. We have to do this. We have to do that differently. You can make an argument then, I think, as someone looking at it from the outside in.
Right. Well, Joe Paterno had an absolute rule here. An absolute rule. No children in practice. None. So his grandchildren, right, the children of the coaches, whatever, not allowed at practice at all. So Joe had a rule. No children at practice whatsoever. If you want to come and scout practice, you have to go through the proper protocol, the whole thing, but it's just you as the scout that's going to do it. If you're a former player, you wanted to go, you couldn't really bring your kids. I mean, kids were not allowed to practice. And that was always his mantra. James Franklin, when his girls come down to practice, they're actually up on the deck, up above. And so they're not even down in the field. And then it's when they break the huddle where they're done, then they come out onto the field to see dad. Anybody else who comes to practice, a wife, may have their children, there's a concrete walkway that is just outside the weight room that is so far off the practice field, and normally they aren't there until the last, 10 minutes, maybe, at the end of practice. And that's so far off the practice field. And that's just to pick up somebody when they're done. So, I mean, those have been the rules I've worked around. I mean, if Patrick Chambers' children are at practice, they're sitting up in the stands. Man. Keith Thurgo never brings his children to practice.
Yeah, if there's no written rule or even an implied rule that the organization does not want this to happen or frowns on it, I don't understand in this particular case where the problem is. My first thought was, well, it is a work environment. I understand them not wanting it. But then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is a different work environment than most people have.
But everybody says he's responsible.
Right.
When it comes to, he helps clean up the dugout. He goes out and he gets the baseballs. He You know, if they need somebody to run down to the bullpen to send a message down there, he's the one that'll run down and do it. That's what makes this very difficult. You're not looking at the, oh, great, here's Bobby's 9-year-old massive brat kid is being a pain in the neck out there. Like the kid in the...
I knew you were thinking in A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own.
You and I had the same exact thought. I was trying to think of his Stillwell.
This kid is 180 of that. Or young man. He's 14. He's a young man. And because he's been around it, he knows where to go, what to do. And the players really like and respect him because he is not a sit around, hang around, do nothing, spoiled son of a millionaire designated hitter. He actually goes out there and he works because he wants to be a part of it and wants to be responsible about what he's doing. So this is one where the Chicago White Sox, to their credit, look really, really bad.
You're gonna win. You're stink. You're gonna win.
Then he gets hit with the foul ball. We're gonna win.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's War Sports Bows over the day. It's the topic we've been discussing. The White Sox situation with Adam LaRoche. When it comes to bringing your son around, dial it back. Okay. Suzanne in Lewistown, our pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you for your patience, Suzanne. Welcome.
Yep.
Hi, Suzanne. How
it's
are you today?
Lewisburg, but that's okay.
Lewisburg, my apologies. Lewisburg. Thank you.
That's okay.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to... I had two quick questions. The first one is, how come this 14-year-old isn't in school?
What they do is this. His teachers give him, during spring training, all the work he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Because they've done this now for a few years with him, so they're used to doing it. And then he takes it with him, and then he has to online report every day as to what he's doing in each topic.
Okay, he does, like, cyber school.
Yeah, well, he goes to school normally, but when it comes to this month when Dad's down at spring training,
okay,
that's how they do it. But that's a very good question.
Okay, and the other question was, what does he think about this? I was just, curious. Does he want dad? I don't know. I think if you're a millionaire, having 1 year that you don't get a million, 13 million, you can probably make it do. But I'm just curious what the kid feels about this. Does he want dad to make that sacrifice? Or
that's a really good question, Suzanne.
No, he's 14.
Right.
He has some feelings about this.
That's a very good question, Suzanne, and that's something that we don't know. And
right.
I also think it's also difficult to walk up to a 14-year-old and say, hey, we'd like to interview you about how you feel about dad walking away.
Well, especially a 14-year-old boy, he'll just sit there and shrug, so you don't get any words.
He obviously loves... I'll say this, though. He obviously loves going to the ballpark with his father because, obviously, he can say no. Hey, Dad, I really can't. Yeah. I got to stay home. I got to do this. Got to go to school.
Right. I want to do this with my friends or whatever. Yeah.
Right. So he decides that he wants to go to the ballpark with his dad. He did the same thing when his father was with the Washington Nationals and did it all last year with the White Sox. And evidently it's something the young man really likes, enjoys, and it probably has been a great experience for him. If it wasn't,
how
he would have told
Nationals
his father.
Deal with it?
Nationals had no problem with it.
Okay.
Yeah, Nationals had no problem with him. They let him do it. I mean, baseball has always been a game where Cal Ripken Jr., Ken Griffey Jr., Prince Fielder, they were at the ballpark with their fathers all the time. So it's actually been part of the culture. It's a very interesting question.
Adopt a 50-year-old daughter?
Suzanne, wouldn't that be fun, huh?
Yeah. I'd rather do what he does.
You got that right.
That's more fun than my job.
Oh, I think it's more fun than most jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Look, as I was saying earlier, you could be the single greatest IT person in the world, and then it comes time for take your child to work day. And after 15 minutes, they're like, okay, so this is what you do, really? Okay, I think I'm going back to school.
And like Kevin said, you know, he's 14. It's not like you have to entertain the kid and, you know, get into that. Don't get into, you know, don't deflate the baseballs or something, you know.
Right, exactly. And you know what? But he helps. I mean, that's why the other players love him, Suzanne. The reason the other players are adamant about this is because even the ball club, even the president of the team says, look, he's a great kid. They must have said it 20 times. Because he helps clean up the clubhouse. He helps clean out the dugout. He goes out and gathers the baseballs. I mean, he's not just sitting there like a lump waiting for dad to finish BP.
Right. That's great. One last thing. How did the other, you mentioned about how Christian did at Pro Day. How about the other folks?
All right, I'll run them down for you. Austin Johnson had a really good day, I thought, Suzanne. I thought he really hit the bags hard. He ran well. His agility drill was strong. Anthony Zettel, I thought, had an even little bit better day than even Austin Johnson did, because all of his cuts as to what he did on the bags were so ultra sharp and quick. I was really impressed. And then Zettel took an extra step, Suzanne, when it came time to throw to the tight ends, Kyle Carter being one of them, and then the running backs, Dom Salamone and Brandon Johnson. Zettel went out and ran pass patterns with the tight ends because he wanted to show the NFL guys versatility. He did not have a single drop, and he ran really great routes. And I talked to Anthony about it afterward, and he said, look, I'm just trying to show I can play anywhere, anytime they need me, and that's why he did it. Nassib stumbled a couple of times in the bag. Overall, Carl came in at 277, lean, ran a great 40. Agility drill was excellent. On the bags, he could have been a little bit better. I think that's the only part he was disappointed in. Jordan Lucas did everything except the 225-pound rep on the bench press. His agent, Brett Sr., told me he's going to do that on April 1st. But Lucas looked really good today. He looked quick out there today. He tracked the ball really well. And I think Jordan helped himself, because Jordan did go to the combine in Indianapolis but was limited in what he did there. Today he wasn't limited, and people took a long, hard look at him today. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Kyle Carter had a good day today. Brandon Johnson showed what a freak athlete he is. He ran a 4.38 and a 4.41 in the 40, which everybody sat back and went, whoa. And he also had a 39.5-inch vertical, which had people going, whoa. And then for Ryan Kaiser.
The chambers know that.
Yeah, I wish. That's what I said to Nick Colella. Nick Colella was there from the basketball program. I said, Nick, I said, Johnson has one more year, just so you know. And for Ryan Kaiser, I'll tell you, I think Kaiser may have knocked out the best broad jump of anybody. He and Trevor Williams. And Trevor Williams did, I thought, pretty well today. I thought Williams ran well today, had a real burst to him, and he tracked the ball well, too. So I don't think anybody really hurt themselves today. But Hackenberg was the one that was going to be the focal point of everybody. And he was 44 of 52, and he had 21 passes in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looked really sharp, and according to everybody that I talked to that happened to be in Indianapolis, his day today was better than what he did in Indianapolis.
Well, great. Well, I'm an alumni, so go stay.
All right, Suzanne, thank you for a great call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You're welcome. Now, Suzanne has allowed us to get everybody up to date on Pro Day today, 800-795-9565 is our number. If you'd like to jump in. We've been talking about the issue of, and Suzanne made a really good point. She says, how does the young man feel about it? Dad's walking away from $13 million this year out of principal. How does he feel about it? And it's going to be hard for any of us to know because, let's face it, the last thing, and Suzanne realized that, of course, right away, the last thing you want to do is walk up and go, hey, how do you feel about dad walking away from $13 million? Yeah. The kid feels bad enough because I'm sure he loved going to the ballpark. Well, no, we're not talking about your kid.
That's true. His answer would be,
I'll never forget that day I walked in the booth. Hi, Daniel. Right? And you're like, Daniel, Miss Jones said hi. Looked up.
Hey. He was in the middle of a game. He couldn't stop.
Yes, hey. He was.
Hey.
Yeah. Then they said, Hi, Kevin.
Hey.
And Daniel said, hey, Mr. Jones is talking to you. Can't look that way. All right. 1-800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in. Love to hear your comments on this. Because this is an interesting social question. It is an interesting workplace question in the context of sports. Being a baseball player is a job. It is not the job over at the Tool and Die. I understand that. It is not driving the truck. It's not, unloading the tractor trailer. And it's not running the register at the store. I understand that. But it's still a job. And obviously, say you're running the register at the store, you're not allowed to have your kids there. No way. I never, around the radio station, I don't see kids. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody that will, school ended early, so for an hour they got to be there. And they're just usually playing video games. Today's babysitter. Video
games.
It's
true.
That's a different society now. Everything's changed. I mean, when I was a kid, back in the roaring 20s, when I was a kid, we'd get home from school, and if it was early in the year, we'd go out and play baseball. As it got later in the year, we'd be out there under the streetlight playing football. In the summertime, we'd be doing two things. We'd either play baseball in the evening, or else there was a dirt basketball court down the street, and we'd play pickup games till like 8:30 at night. In the summertime. And that's what we did. We always found something to do, and it was always with other people, and it was not in an organized form. In other words, no autopsy, no foul. So, that's what we did. Now today, it's more about organized sports. It's more about really everything's about intense supervision now. Now, here's a father that loves having his son with him. And the son obviously loves the dad. And there's something to be said for what is a very tight relationship between the two. Now, you had that relationship with your son. You and your son.
Actually,
were very
we did.
Tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, 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 very tight. You guys talk about everything all the time, but you don't take him to work either.
Not real often. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times in a year, maybe twice, and that's just because we're stopping off to do something, and it's actually off hours more than on hours.
Right. I mean, Suzanne asked a really interesting question to start out with, and I had the answer for it because I did look it up. I was curious like she was. What about school? And I guess the LaRoches, I think, live in Kansas in the off season, so that's where the home happens to be. So what the school in Kansas does is that they give him, okay, here's all the work you're going to have to do, and I think he either has to check in either online or one step further, can Skype in if he needs to. And that's how they do it. That way he stays on track in school. It's this is a dicey one for the White Sox. Very dicey. Because I think they're going to be... There are going to be a lot of fathers that I think envy the fact that Adam LaRoche could do this. Because, look, we work a lot of hours and we spend a lot of time away. So they're going to envy the fact that he can do his job and he can have his son around. And the fact that it sounds like a great relationship between the two where he says, hey, it's not only my son, he's my best friend. Well, that's cool. That's really nice. At the same time, if you're the White Sox and you're trying to get people to go to U.S. Cellular Field, you're not just trying to get guys to go to U.S. Cellular Field, are you? When it comes to going to games at the Cell, don't you want women to be interested in what you're doing? And I think that this is something that, and I'm only guessing, I don't want to stereotype, but I'm guessing if I were to ask moms how they felt about it, I think they'd feel the same way a lot of dads do. But if I ask moms about it, they say, hey, it's really great that dad takes an interest and so forth, and that the White Sox don't look good in doing this. And the White Sox don't have... Well, you know what's interesting is you read this and you really look into it. The White Sox do not have a good explanation for why they don't want him there. You know, what's the explanation? We want you to dial in and focus. Okay. So what do you want me to do here? Stay at the ballpark 24/7? I got to go home sometime. We used to have at Penn State football a blue line. And the blue line was right beyond the walkway from the locker room to the practice field. Now, right now the locker room's being redone. The players starting tomorrow. When spring practice starts tomorrow, the players are going to have to dress at Beaver Stadium and actually bus to practice because the locker room is being redone at Lash right now. And that blue line, what Joe Paterno would tell the players is that when you step across the blue line, you need to put aside any issues you're having at that moment. Don't be thinking about, I have that geology test coming up. Don't think about the fact that, you know, that, look, I've got to go out and buy dinner tonight. Don't think about the fact that I've got, you know, I'm having trouble with my girlfriend. There's problems at home. He says you can't think about any of this stuff because when you cross the blue line, there's absolutely nothing you can do about the other things on the outside. That when you cross the blue line, you can only do something about football. Conversely, when you cross back over the blue line, then you can deal with, I have problems with my girlfriend. I need to make sure I'm ready for that geology test. I need to see my tutor. I need to see my academic advisor. There's a problem at home. I need to get home and take care of it. And you don't worry about football when you cross back over the blue line because at that point you can't do anything about football until it comes time to go back in the building and maybe watch some film. And now back to this. Well, he's able to bring his son to the ballpark and did so. And as Suzanne asked, you know, how'd the Nationals feel? The Nationals let him do it. That's why today one of the individuals that was tweeting out the disgust toward the White Sox was Bryce Harper because he was around him. But he had $13 million due on his contract and he's walking away from that. I can tell you right now, the co-host on this show would never do that. I'm telling you, I mean, that kid would be in daycare.
And it would be affordable, too, because I'm making how many million?
13. Kevin would be like, Daniel, love you. Take care.
But, Dad, I really want to go to work with you. Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Got
to
go.
Fabulous. Talk to you in September. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Evidently, Chris Sale, the outstanding ace of the White Sox, verbally laid out Ken Williams and general manager Rick Hahn today in front of everybody in the clubhouse over what happened and basically told me they are not welcome in there anymore. I mean, that was, evidently it was heated, and evidently not G-rated. The only reason the White Sox players played was because Robin Ventura asked them to do it. He said, look, if I ask you to post as your manager, I need you to post. And keep in mind, Robin Ventura approved of the idea of letting Drake LaRoche around the clubhouse all the time. He approved of it and was fine with it. And they say that Chris Sale lit up Ken Williams during a heated clubhouse meeting. And he said that the problem with Ken Williams is this. He's not around the clubhouse to understand the dynamics of the clubhouse. So, I mean, here's the big question. Why did they wait until now to do it? I mean, LaRoche hasn't even been out there now for, what's today, the 17th? It's St. Patrick's Day. He hasn't even been out there in 12 days. The last time he was out there was March 5th because he's had back spasms. I mean, I don't. Wow. This is really a bizarre situation. Again, you're talking about the manager of the team, Robin Ventura, approved this. And what does it tell you that Adam Eaton, who's been rather vocal about this, and Chris Sale, the ace? I mean, let's face it, if the Chicago White Sox have a star, there is no question that star is Chris Sale. There are very few pitchers in baseball last year that performed better than he did. It was almost automatic that he'd walk out to the mound and get 10 strikeouts plus in a game. I mean, he's a real ace. Well, evidently, when Ken Williams came into the clubhouse, according to these reports, Sale lit him up. Now, when you're the ace of the club and you're getting double-digit strikeouts almost every time out and you're making about $15 million a year, you're probably feeling empowered to do it.